So the thing itself and the way it works, the difference or the transition from one to the other is huge. How do I know? Because I've been studying it for most of my life. Actively as a real metaphysician for approximately 15 years. Longer, maybe a little longer, 15, 16 years. We're actively in the studying the science of mind and in that way. And every once in a while, I get it. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, I was like, oh, I get it. In between, it feels like I'm trying to get it, and then all of a sudden, I get it. I get a piece of it. So I want to tell you a couple stories. One story I told you, but I have to tell you the old story to come to the new story because it matters. Because the way it works, and let's get clear, there is only one way that it works, right? How is that one way? Through me. The thing itself works through me, through you. There's no other way it works. Except that sometimes we still forget and we try to tell God what to do. We try to do God's work. Now, that's not to say that God has an idea for us that's separate from us. There is no will of God that's separate from our will, but there's a dance that we do, and when we surrender into the dance, we are brought into this sweet guidance into the all of us. But sometimes some of us get a little stubborn. Can we lower my mic a little bit? Thank you. Sometimes we get a little stubborn because we want what we want when we want it. Anybody know that? Any control freaks in the room that will be willing to own that? Okay. The control freaks didn't actually raise their hands because they didn't want you to know that they were in control or trying to be in control. Okay. I got that. Last July, I went to Chicago to a conference, to the leadership conference. And I did tell you this, so bear with me. And I went to this, I went to most of the talks, most of the events, and there was this beautiful young woman, her name is Tama Keeves, and you're going to get to meet Tama, especially through Joel, because she and he are friends, and we're going to get her to come here. Tama was a Harvard-trained lawyer that gave it up to follow her bliss. Who does that? Who does that? Who takes all that time and that energy and that money? Now, she passed the bar. We're not talking about a flunky. We're talking about a Harvard-trained lawyer, okay? Not someone who tried to do it and followed her bliss. Amazing, inspirational young woman. So we had a session with her, and she did a short, unofficial kind of visioning session with us. Now, at the time, there was primarily ministers in the room, but there was ministers and other leadership from all the centers. And she brought us in and brought us into a little bit of a meditation, and she asked the question, what's next? What's next by means of me, by you? So I'm there and, you know, open to answers. Although sometimes with visioning, as it happens, you don't always get an answer live time. You don't always get it on the spot. It happens that way. Inspiration happens as inspiration happens. But the next morning, I got woken up with the answer, and I knew full well it was the answer because there's an energetic connection. When you ask a question, you surrender it into the mind of God, and then you allow it, when the answer comes, you know it's the same because it has a feeling tone. You understand? You know, you absolutely know that it is connected. So I wake up, and this is what I hear. You have to recommit. And my Jersey sassy-ass attitude was like, what? You want more? Now I'm arguing with God. I'm absolutely arguing with God. Like, you want more? You want more? I'm thinking I've committed everything to the center, to my sons. I'm thinking I've committed to God. I'm thinking I got this covered. And what comes absolutely clearly is you got to recommit. Man, I was not happy. But I questioned it only long enough till what happened showed itself. And And I'm going to tell you what happened out of that. So actually, I'm going to suspend this piece of story and go back to it, okay? New Year's Eve, we're walking the labyrinth. And a labyrinth, for those of you who don't know, it's not the thing from the movie Labyrinth with Mazes, although I guess they exist too. It's on a floor, or it's on the ground, or it's on a tarp that's rolled out. And it is a single directional kind of maze that you walk in one direction in and the other direction out. The secret, the trick, it's not to trick you. It's so that you can go mindless and mindfully walk slowly into the center of it. And while you're entering into the labyrinth, the point is to ask a question of something you need an answer to. Okay? So we approach the labyrinth, and some of us bow, or we just say a small prayer. And I ask the question. For me, the question was, what do I need to know to have my next level of experience of success? What do I need to know, or what do I need to do? So after that, you know, I ask the question, I enter, and I'm walking, and I'm walking, and it gets very slow and very hypnotic in a way, because you don't have to think. You're just kind of putting one foot in front of the other and following the path as it is presented. So there's not much to think about. So I'm doing this. I think it might have been back on the way out, and what comes is, dot the I's and cross the T's. There comes my Jersey sassy-ass attitude again. And I'm like, what? Dot the I's and cross the T's. Have you ever heard of anything so boring in all of your entire life? Like, God, this is all you got. I'm waiting to download some profound thing where God says, write something else or do something else or travel to Africa or open a ministry or do something. And what I get is dot the I's and cross the T's. I am not happy. I'm not. I want to be inspired and moved to my soul. Okay. Now we're going to go back to the first story. What I had to recommit to was an idea that I had almost allowed to die on the vine. I wrote a book / journal that I was extremely excited about, and then had all those dream stealers, as we're currently calling them around here, the dream stealers of, who the hell are you to write a book? Who are you? What do you think? What do you have? So I listened. And what I did is I let the idea die on the vine for about a year. At that leadership conference, I was rooming with a friend of mine who's now we have a partnership. And I realized what I had to recommit to was my book. And in a few weeks, I will have it in my hands. But I don't cease to be challenged by this. I don't cease to not hear that voice of, what the heck do you think you're doing? Even last Sunday, as I sat here listening to Reverend Joel, you know, enjoying the service, what I recognized was my self-sabotaging habits and that voice that I just haven't automatically been able to get to shut up. So as I heard it, I realized, okay, I have more work to do. I have more work, more cleaning up to do. So I, you know, get on my prayer partners. We got to take care of this. I got to get out of the way. Because God works through me, through you. So it showed up to say recommit. Now, I question that. But in the recommitment, even though I'm terrified, I'm telling you, I'm terrified. So much of me is scared. Scared of failing. It's like standing naked in front of a group. And like, I'm scared, but I'm doing it. Because what I do know is that a feeling that I have is not the truth of me. That I know. That does not determine or limit the power that is potentially available to me through my relationship with the universe and God. So the way God is working through me in this moment in telling me to recommit was to finally do what I said I was going to do. And not for nothing, but us spiritual types, us creative spiritual types, anybody consider themselves part of that? Oh, a few more hands, I'm sure. We're not the most organized. We're not the best bill payers. We're not the ones to always return the calls, finish the emails, and complete the stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, honestly, I love my life, but I need what I need is a counterpart that is all the intelligence and the organizer and all of that just so I could look good. And I know this about other people. Michael Beckwith, I doubt that he actually wrote that book. He doesn't even like to write. So what Michael has is a team of people that has him look brilliant, and he is. But his brilliance gets to shine because someone else is there to say, oh, Michael, honey, put your signature on this, baby. So when I got that advice to dot the I's and cross the T's, as pissy as I was about it, I knew it was right. So now I'm home like a mantra when I want to sit and just knit. And the mantra is, dot the I's and cross the T's, dot the I's and cross the T's, dot the I's and cross the T's. But what happens is I create completion, and I create more order. Now, believe me, I've come a long way. I've come a long way, long, far from who I was. So I'm actually an improved version of me with this. But the wisdom was, do what you're not doing now. The wisdom said, fill in the pieces, do the right thing. Do you remember that term? Do you remember do the right thing from like this? Was it like the late 70s? It was something that people walked around saying all the time, like, you got to do the right thing. And it meant to really show up in that particular moment, however, with whatever was necessary. So I've got to do the right thing. And the right thing is to complete, to find balance. I don't want to dull down the fun part of me. I don't want to dull down the creative, spiritual part of me. I don't want to let go of. Because I wouldn't have any fun. When this stops being fun, I'm doing something else. Absolutely. But I do want to do it in a way that it's replicable. My spiritual teacher, who was one of the hands down most brilliant people that I've ever met in my life to date, one of the most intuitive, loving, potent guides, she made one major error. She didn't figure out how to replicate what it is she knew. She just stayed good at it. And so for me, dot the I's and cross the T's, and even, it's not really a book, it's like a journal. It's a journal. Bless you. It's me learning how to replicate what it is that I know. Because I do know, I've actually been at this game a very long time. But unless I can share the steps that I know, it doesn't matter, does it? I'm not here to be brilliant. I'm here to share brilliance that is not necessarily mine. I'm here to support you in your brilliance, in your transformation, in your healing, in your self-acceptance. That's my job. And I want to serve that job. And so between recommitting and dotting the I's and crossing the T's, I will do that. I will do that in a better way than I have done that. So, spirit shows up through you. It shows up through consciousness. So for me, that answer that came, it didn't come to someone else walking the labyrinth. You didn't get dot the I's and cross the T's. I got dot the I's and cross the T's. Because when we develop our relationship with the universal intelligence, it shows up through exactly who you are in whatever you have brought to the table to date. You understand? So what we are always doing is we are always expanding our consciousness. Because we're not here to, I'm not here to buy a new car, like to treat and use spiritual mind treatment to have a new car. Not that that's bad, but I don't make the car happen. I develop the consciousness that allows me to have that happen, whether it's given to me or whether the book is successful and I buy a car, whatever it might be. But it's not my job to tell God how to do its job. And I want to just mention, because sometimes when you're here, if you're here for the first time, the first few times, if you've really never been in this kind of center, and I think it sounds odd to certain people, and I know it does because I've had these conversations, when we use it instead of he or she. Anybody have that kind of reaction maybe first time around? Okay. But you see, you know what I love about it? It's available. It's easy for me to drink it in. It's easy for me to find it everywhere. And I don't have to go through the exercise of, you know, oh no, it's not God in the sky. Oh no, it's not Mother Nature. No, it. It and the I in it is magnificent. So the peace that we are here to develop, it is that we're here to develop a relationship with that it, and you are the term that they use, especially Thomas Troward, that we're studying again in the 200 series. You are what they call the personal factor. You are the personal factor. So what that means is, most likely, if we all, let's say we all decided right now to just do an exercise of creative exercise, that we do a visioning session because we all suddenly want to download something creative through us. I can almost guarantee that I won't get the next song or the jingle. But very likely, Shanda or Ty might download a song. I probably will not get some new organizational design. We've established that already. But there are people here who are really good at that, that might download that. There are people here who will find the inspiration to have a new language in teaching a method of healing and transformation. So you, as the personal factor, your job is twofold: to stay clear and available. You're here to be clear and available and to consistently ask the question, what wants to happen by means of me? And with a very gentle hold on that question. And what I mean by gentle is that, you know, you're really open to the way it shows up without criticizing, unlike what I did in the two visioning sessions. What? You know, arguing with God might not be the direction you want to go in, even though sometimes you'll be tempted to do that. God works through your consciousness. Now, here's the kicker. Here's just the one side that doesn't get talked about that much, so I just want to say it. I don't want to dwell on it too much. But it also gets filtered down through your wounds. It gets filtered down through your limitations and your judgments. So we don't have to dwell on that right now, but look at that. You know, I know a few people like this, that every time something happens in the world, they'll always say, oh, they're always out to get you. Not so. People are really not out to get you. But if that's the consciousness that I bring to life, anybody have feel that like life is out to get you sometimes? You might want to look at that. Because that is a filter through which God then shows up. God does not question. If I plant an orange seed, I'm going to get an orange. If I plant a tomato seed, I'm going to get a tomato. If I plant a tomato seed and got an orange, there'd be something really wrong with the system. But nature has it right. So it is my job to understand the nature of the process. to place myself in right alignment with that process, which means having myself as the vessel be as peaceful as I possibly can in any given moment. So that then when I'm seeking demonstration, I am open and available. I was looking to see if yes and now were up there. To live into the yes and the now. Even if you know nothing else, to say yes to my good. I am willing to say yes to my good. There we go. And I'm willing to have it now. I'm willing to say yes to my good, and I'm willing to have it now. You know, we're doing a class, and we begin Wednesday night, Unveiling Your Hidden Power by Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was a teacher of teachers. She was a great influence to Ernest Holmes, Myrtle, and Charles Fillmore, and Nona Brooks, who is less well-known. She was the founder of Divine Science. And the simple, sweet thing about Emma is how she teaches the power of good. Calling something good, declaring it good. She says, and this is what we will expand on in the class, my good is my God. Say that. My good is my God. My good is my God. My good is my God. Now, if you're walking around with that thought, if that's the last thought you take to sleep, it's the first thought you wake up to. What are the chances of having a very good day? Very good. Will that not increase your exposure to possibility if you go to sleep on, wake up to, and ponder in your time, especially in your car? Some of you think because you're alone in the car, God doesn't hear you thinking. You think that's a time to whine and complain. Well, I'm alone. I'm not really gossiping. Nobody's here. There is no place where God is not. There is no thought that you think that is separate and away from God. Your creative thinking is happening at all times. God works through you, lifetime all the time. Lifetime all the time. Use your daydreaming time productively, powerfully, lovingly, creatively. If you feel yourself going down that rabbit hole, you stop. Shake it off. Because not one of us has the luxury of dawdling in, oh, ain't it awful. And this, what I'm saying to you, is why we keep talking about the center being in an educational system. Because it's a way of staying in the conversation. Stay in the conversation. Talk about it with friends. If you're new here, go home with a few phone numbers. Meet up with some people. Have coffee together. Not to go into the, oh, ain't it awful, but to go into what's possible here. Because if the thing itself is working through me, then I want the me to be the best it can be. Are you with me? That's our job. To have you be the most thinking, thoughtful, conscious, aware being possible. Because God does nothing but say yes. Yes. It says yes. So when you live into your yesness and spirit lives into its yesness as the relationship that you have together, then the more potent of a form you give it, the more potent of a mold that you give it by means of your thought, the happier you'll just be with the outcome of your life. Good? Good. And so it is. Okay, if everyone will grab the hand of someone next to you, please, let's surrender this into prayer. It's nice back here. So let's know together right here and right now that there is one power, one presence, one love. It is good, it is glorious, it is truly magnificent. I know for each person here as we surrender into the consciousness of the one, that this one lifts, moves, motivates, and inspires each of us through our willingness and our availability. I know that as we raise our level of expectancy of good, that good finds its way to us, through us, in our lives immediately, equally, all the time. I make room for this good. I make room through my acceptance, through my allowance. It is good and very good, for I know that my good is my God. Say that one more time with me. My good is my God. And if I follow this thinking, then I know that my good is my God as my health, and my good is my God as my prosperity, and my good is my God as relationships, and my good is my God as my creative self-expression, and my good is my God as my joy and my peace and my harmony. My good is my God. There's no way outside of it. I breathe into it. I accept the yes and now of it. I allow it to be with an open heart and an infinite amount of gratitude, as collectively we say, and so it is.